This morning we're going to be talking about overcoming discontent. Overcoming discontent. And this is a very interesting study. As a matter of fact, it's very challenging. To be discontent is to be blinded by the evil one. And that's something that all of us have to be mindful of and to develop strong minds that the Lord can work through us. When we consider having a strong mind, I want us to start off in 1 John chapter 2, verses 12 through 14, where you'll find these words spoken by the one in whom Jesus loved. Talking about having a strong mind. 1 John 2, starting at verse 12, I write to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you. For his name's sake, I write unto you fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you little children, because you have known the Father. I have written unto you fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you young men, because you are strong. And notice why. The word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. I believe that if we're going to have strong minds, that it's going to take us allowing God's word to abide in our hearts. We're going to overcome the discontentment. And one of the hardest things to do is to overcome discontentment, because for some reason we find ourselves not content. Well, we're going to discuss that a little bit more here in a few minutes. But in John chapter 16 and verse 33, we're going to be all over the scriptures this morning. In John chapter 16, verse 33, Jesus says something that's very powerful and worthy of our consideration. Now, I'm focusing more on the word overcome right now. Jesus said in verse 33, these things I have spoken unto you that in me you might have peace. In the world, you will have trouble, tribulation, but be of good cheer. Notice what Jesus said. I have overcome the world. Now, it is true that when one is suffering from a lack of contentment, one is indulging themselves in a peace of the world. And the reason why is because God wants us to be a people who are content. When we consider the definition of overcome, it means to subdue, to conquer. I like this word, this phrase, get the victory. Jesus said, you have overcome, I have overcome the world. I've gotten victory over the world. Well, if Jesus got the victory over the world, the question is, can we? Can we truly obtain victory over discontentment? Turn your Bibles to 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 4. In 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 4, we find these words spoken by John again. Friends, if we're going to be overcomers, if we're going to overcome discontentment, then we're going to have to exercise something. In verse number 4, the Bible there says, for whatever or whatsoever, depending on your version, is born of God. Now, I love that phrase, born of God, literally born out of God. Okay? Remember, the Bible teaches us that we have been begotten by the word of truth, James 1, verse 17. But notice, whatsoever is born out of God overcomes the world. Hold on. Gets victory over the world, the way that they think, the way that they do things. Well, we know for a fact that those who are of the world always demonstrate, at times, a lack of contentment. But notice what he says. And this is the victory that overcometh the world. What is it? Our faith. Now, when we think about this, Jesus told the church at Pergamos in Revelation chapter 2 and verse number 17. Notice what Jesus tells the church at Pergamos in Revelation 2 and verse 17. We're talking about overcoming discontentment. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh, will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth except he that receiveth. Now, whatever this stone is something that is permanent. We know that this is figurative language, but I want to make this particular point because in this point, whatever is in the stone is engraven. And you think about when God wrote the Ten Commandments on stones with his own finger, of course, that being figurative language, it was that which was engraven, permanent. Now, those who overcome things in their life, and what we're talking about this morning is being having discontentment, if we can overcome that, I believe that we will be a people who will indulge in these blessings right here. We'll be able to eat of that manna. Remember, the people of God in the Old Testament, they were fed manna from God. There's a reward in doing the will of God. So, the same with overcoming discontentment. But what is discontentment? Notice this definition. Discontentment is the condition of being dissatisfied with one's life or situation. Here are some synonyms for discontentment. Disgruntlement, disgruntle, displeasure. Some related words to it. Bitterness, resentment, uneasiness, blues, dejection, depression, downheartedness, dreariness, dumps, misery, sadness, sorrow, unhappiness, wretchedness. I would say that more than enough people, including Christians, live this way every single day. Not content. Disgruntled. Dissatisfied. Why? Don't like the way my life is. I could have everything that I need and some of the things that I want and I'm still not pleased. I can have the forgiveness of sins, yet I'm still not pleased. What are some things that we can be disgruntled about? Or lack contentment in. Notice this subtle point I'm about to make here. Have you ever thought about individuals having a lack of contentment in truth? Anybody? Raise your hand if you have thought about that. Ananias and Sapphira lack contentment in truth. In reality, they lied about their situation. Question, did they have to? But they did. When we consider that, friends, I want us to be thinking about this. We ought to be content about the truth. Well, Ephesians 4 and verse 21, the Bible teaches us that the truth is in Jesus. John 14, 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth. The word of God is truth. Question. Do we know people who are not content with Jesus? They're not content with truth? Could it be some of us? Ananias and Sapphira were not content with the truth, therefore they lied. David wasn't satisfied with his wives, so he took another man's wife. 2 Samuel chapter 12. God told him, now listen to this, in 2 Samuel chapter 12 verses 8 through 10, Samuel, God told Nathan, you tell this to David, I would have given you more if you wanted it, but you did this wicked thing in my sight. David, what was your problem? I wasn't content with what I had, therefore I sinned against God. Thought about that. Are we content? Are we content with truth? Are we content with our spouses? Make no mistake about it, discontentment comes with grave consequences. Israel, because of their lack of contentment with the manna that God was given to them from heaven, murmured against Moses, murmured against this manna God listened to it. God said, okay, I'm going to give them quail. You know what? They got to a point where they were done and tired of that. Why is it that we lack contentment? Why is it that the children of God who have everything that they need, and when I say that, I'm talking about the forgiveness of sins, food and clothing. You notice I didn't put shelter. Isn't it interesting that Jesus nowhere promises that we're going to have shelter? That's us that put that in the scriptures in Matthew chapter 6. Well, Jesus, he promised, God promised food, clothing, and shelter. Now he promised food and clothing, which is consistent with who he is. Jesus said, for the foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests. Son of man don't have a place to lay his head. I thought about that. Basically, the only thing that Jesus owned while he was on this earth was the body that God gave him, Hebrews 10, verse 5. That's all he owned. Question. What about us? Yes, ma'am. Many of us don't want an attitude adjustment. We're going to talk about that, too. It's difficult. It's difficult. Where does complaining come from? I'm not content. I'm dissatisfied with my life and the circumstances that I'm in. Question. Have my sins been washed away? Now, to some, that I might be sounding real extreme. It doesn't matter. God sent his son to save us from sin. A poor man can go to heaven just like a rich man can. A poor man can have health problems just like a rich man can. A person who has no children can go to heaven just like a person who has an abundance of children. Question, are we content or do we show God that we're not? Jesus in Luke 3 and verse 14 told the soldiers, be content with your wages. Be content. Well, what is contentment? Let's go ahead and get that definition in. This is interesting. The Bible is clear that contentment, listen to this, friends, is to rest satisfied. It is to rest. What does it mean to rest? To be calm, to be at ease, satisfied, filled to the full, literally enough. I'm reminded of what God told Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 in verse number 9. Remember, Paul wanted that thorn to be removed. He asked three times. God said, my grace is enough. Your version may be translated sufficient. It's the same word for content. God said, my grace, the favor that you have obtained from me, the law that you have obtained from me that you can live through and live by and be made sanctified by is enough. You know what God was telling Paul? If I did nothing else for you, you're okay. Be all right with it. It's difficult. Yet we live in a world that is not enough. I don't have enough education. I don't have enough money. I don't have enough husbands. I don't have enough wives. I don't have enough. I don't have enough. In America. But in the church, it's different. It's convicting. It's amazing looking at these God's word and you have to think about your own heart and your own mind and your own thoughts and your own life. And you ask yourself, Mike, is it enough? Or do you want more? Sometimes it's not enough. Sometimes I want more. It's not enough. What I have is not enough. What is contentment? It means to be fine with the condition we're in. Now, I put this in my notes because I know someone is thinking it and even probably would have the gall to say it. You're telling me that we ought to be content with if we're not living right, if I'm not spiritually mature? Of course not. Anything that's going to hinder my relationship with God, I should not be content with that lifestyle. I should not be content with where I am spiritually, for even the Apostle Paul said in Philippians 3, I press. I have not yet arrived. I'm still striving. I'm reaching. So we're not talking about that. Paul is not talking about that. Let's be content with truth. Let's be content with what we have. So God told Paul, my grace is sufficient. So question, do we have enough? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. No, you're 100% right in that area because we're not talking about spiritual things. We're talking about carnal. It's a big difference. A lot of times, even though things may be carnal, there's nothing wrong with going to work. There's nothing wrong with obtaining funds. Nothing wrong with obtaining cars and houses. But question, is that my aim? Is that my goal? Is that my view? Is that in my scope? Seeking and saving the lost, preaching the gospel, doing mission work, trust me, is not on the minds of a carnal individual. Those who are spiritual are seeking those things. Those who are spiritual, they're seeking to make sure that God is glorified. I'm going to bring this little point up, and then I'm going to let Sister Bonner make a point. In Proverbs 3 and verse number 9, we see a very clear nuance there. That nuance teaches us that we are to honor the Lord with our possessions. Question. Do I obtain more that God can get more glory out of it? Or do I obtain more that I can please myself? Can I be pleased if God is glorified? The answer to that question is an astounding yes. Can the opposite be true? Yes. Can I be pleased and God not be glorified? Yes. So my aim is to always glorify God in everything I do and in everything that I have. So if I have it, God must have given it to me, either by way of hard work, someone giving it to me, but I can be a blessing to someone else. Yes, ma'am. Spiritual things. Yes. Good. Real good. Anyone else? That's right. That's right. Colossians 3:17. Anyone else? Contentment. Let's turn to Philippians 4:11. Contentment is a learned behavior. You have to learn contentment. The Apostle Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, learned. How do you learn something? First of all, you have to be exposed to it, right? Then you have to diligently seek it out, study it, ponder it, meditate upon it. Allow it to roll around in your mind, Philippians 4:8. Notice what he says. Now, this is in the context of having the things that he need or didn't need. Keep in mind that Paul was helping the Philippian church, and at one time he went to go help out the Corinthian church in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and they didn't want to help him. So Paul said that he received help from the Macedonian church. And the reason why, 2 Corinthians 8, verse number 5, because they first gave themselves to the Lord and then unto us. So here you had a poor church helping a rich church. It's all about the heart, Brother Freeman. But notice what Paul says. He says, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be what? Brother Braswell, content. Satisfied. I'm okay. You know what Paul is saying in this context? Whether I have what I need, or if I don't have what I need, I have all that I need in Christ Jesus. Yes, we need physical things. We understand that. But our focal point is not that. We should be content with what we have. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6. Now we start talking in the context of things. Y'all don't cut me off yet, sir. Yes, sir. Yes. 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 Good. Real good. Real good. Real good. Anyone else? That's a powerful point right there. 1 Timothy 6. Brother Dennis, we cannot learn if we don't have the proper education. So the proper education is putting off myself, reaching toward Christ, the peace of God, and then the God of peace. I can't have the God of peace unless I have the peace of God. I can't have the peace of God unless I have the God of peace. I learn these things. Could it be that many, I'm not talking about the world, talking about those of us in church, have not learned contentment because we have not learned the peace of God? The God of peace is right where he has always been, sitting on his throne, wanting us to desire him. Have we learned that? In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. Notice what the text here says. Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy. Where am I? All right, there I am. Of all, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them, because they are brethren, but rather do them service, because they are faithful and beloved partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. If any man teach otherwise, consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine, the teaching, which is accord to godliness. He is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions, strife of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railing, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men, of corrupt minds, dispute of the truth. Supposing that, notice this phrase here, gain is godliness. The word gain there is the source of. Thinking that these things are the source of godliness, Paul is saying. But then notice what he says in verse 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. Godliness and contentment is the source. So the question we have to ask ourselves is this. How do I overcome discontentment? Godliness with contentment. Piety. Reverence towards God. How I view God. How I see God. That and being content with who he is. Being content with truth, looking at my own personal life, it's great gain. That's the source of it. Those are the ones that have the joy in their heart, even though they may not have everything going right in their lives. Hebrews 13:5, we understand that we have to beware of covetousness, but be content with the things that we have. Listen to this. Can you imagine the struggle of the first century church? To want, but probably couldn't have, and us to have and want more. Can you imagine that? They struggle with the same things we struggle with, but probably from the flip side, especially as being Americans. We're very fortunate in America. It's a great country that we live in, right? It really is. And Christians are smack dab in the middle of it. Just like Israel was smack dab in the middle of Canaan and had all of those nations around them. We're smack dab in the middle of a country that is very powerful in a lot of ways. Yet the kingdom of God in the midst of this great country is more powerful than the country itself. The church, who are supposed to be a content people in the midst of a society that's not all that content. We need to be content. So how do we overcome it? We overcome discontentment, look at Colossians 3, verse 5, by ridding inordinate desires, those things that are not lawful for us. Well, there's nothing unlawful about wanting a better job or a better car or better whatsoever. But friends, we have to watch our attitudes. Colossians 3 and verse number 5, put to death, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection. There is a phrase right there, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Covetousness is going to be the death of many. As a matter of fact, when we consider that, covetousness, unlawful desire, wanting something that doesn't belong to you, God doesn't want us to be like that. God wants us to be content with what we have. And it's hard, but we can do it because God has given us strong minds because of the word that he has left us. Jesus said, I overcome the world. You follow me, you trust me, you love me, you can do the same. And we have to believe that. God will take care of our needs. In Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through verse 34, God is going to take care of our food and shelter. Food and clothing, I'm sorry. He takes care of that. If people are walking around naked, that's because they made a decision to be naked. Ain't that right? You can go anywhere. You can have clothes. People who walk around with no clothes on because they made the choice not to have clothes on. Same thing with food. It's interesting how people can even find food in the garbage can. They're eating. They don't have to. They can ask someone who's a child of God. It would be, wouldn't mind giving them something to eat. But the people of God is different. Isn't it interesting that when it comes to us, we're supposed to take care of one another. We're supposed to take care of each other's needs. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 25, 31 through the end of the chapter? When I was hungry, you fed me. When I was thirsty, you gave me drink. When I was naked, you clothed me. When I didn't have a place to stay, you took me in. We take care of each other. We're family. Yes, sir, Brother Freeman. You want to make a comment? Oh, okay. So we take care of each other. So I want us to be mindful that we're God's people. We take care of each other. And we ought to have trust in that. The world sees it differently. You're out there struggling? Okay, you're on your own. But if I help you, I'm going to charge you. Well, not in church. We don't do that. We take care of each other. Philippians 4:19, notice. If you don't hear nothing I've said, hear this passage. Philippians 4:19. God shall supply all your what? All your wants. All your desires. All your fancies. Is that what he said, Ryan? All your needs, according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. God will take care of us. So, what causes discontentment? Envy? Strife? Jesus was handed over because of envy. How can we be more content? Go to 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58, by being optimistic. Did y'all hear that? Optimistic. Not pessimistic. Optimistic. You can be optimistic and a realist at the same time. It's possible. It's not flattery. God is not trying to flatter us. We shouldn't be trying to flatter one another. We're optimistic. It's going to work out. Just got to trust him. I got to wait. Things will get better in time if I just remain steadfast. Notice, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Older brother told me about 20 years ago, about 17 years ago, because been at this about 20 years, about 17 years ago. He said, Mike, if you ever find yourself being downtrodden and depressed and always looking at yourself, go help somebody else. Go put your focus on someone else. Go serve someone else. I guarantee you, you'll stop thinking about what's going on with you. It's amazing that Jesus had his focus on us. Not my will, but thy will be done. Was Jesus content? Yes, he was. He was content doing the will of the Father. Paul said, be therefore steadfast, unmovable. When we consider this, especially as being Christians, struggling with contentment, trying to overcome contentment, we got to be optimistic. We can't defeat ourselves and our own minds. And sometimes we defeat ourselves before anyone else can even give us a word of encouragement. But if someone is trying to encourage us to be content with where we are and who we are, and we're striving to be the best person that we are, we ought to take that encouragement and that admonishment and say, you know what? It's going to be all right. It's going to be okay. Sometimes we're listening to the world and listening to ourselves. Notice what he says. For as much as you know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So receive the encouragement. In Philippians chapter 2, notice verse 14. Another way to aid in discontentment. Do all things without murmuring and complaining. Don't complain about your situation. Pray about your situation. Go to God about your situation. Things are not going well in your personal life. Look at what you need to do to get it right. Marital life, look at what you need to do to get it right. Financial situation, look at the way you're spending your money. You may be making enough, but you're spending too much. Some people lack contentment because their eyes are bigger than their pocketbook. It's just like going to a buffet. You got all that food there, but your stomach can only hold so much. And you're sitting there at the table and you're like, I'm going to get up and go get another piece of that steak. And that's exactly what takes place. But to be content with just eating enough to keep the body going. Are we content? Don't complain. Use words to yourself, to others. Look at Proverbs 25 and verse number 11. Friends, I think about this and I'm like, this is powerful. That God left all of this instruction in the word for us. In Proverbs 25 verse number 11, what does the Bible there say? That our words ought to be like apples of gold and settings of silver. Our words, what we tell ourselves is going to determine where we go. Words are powerful. Watch your words. Encourage younger members of the Lord's church. Older members, encourage younger families. Be content with where you are and allow God to bless you and it'll come. My mom and dad told me this, especially my mom. She said, son, your dad and I have been married X amount of years. You and Evelyn is not going to be there right now. It takes time to get to that point. Brother Dennis, is that correct? Reason why I said that, because I knew he would say yes. It's true, but some of our children, now, I'm not just saying that, sometimes we want to be where our parents are. You can't be there yet. can't be there from an experience perspective, a financial perspective, a spiritual perspective. It takes time to elevate to that point so you can appreciate it. So slow down and allow God to work through you, but give him the glory as you're going that way. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18. There the Bible teaches us very clearly, in everything, give thanks. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. God wants us to be a thankful people. You can tell when a person is not content with what they have, they're not thankful. We ought to be thanking our spouses. Not because they're cooking and cleaning, not because they're going to work every day, but because they decided to marry us. We ought to be thankful for where God has us. We may not have everything that we want, but we have everything that we need. There was a time in which, growing up, I knew individuals that they just didn't have a lot. I look back at my, life growing up, and I realized how blessed we really were. I'm gonna say this. I remember one time I bought some wheels and tires for my 1990 Nissan Sentra. Man, just had it painted from red to blue. Put some wheels and tires on it. Man, it was looking nice. My dad walked outside. He said, "What you got there?" "Oh, I just bought these wheels and tires." He said, "Why you do that?" I said, "They look good." He said, "Son, can you look at them while you're driving?" So just the other day, God gave me a truck before we moved here. I thought, man, I'm gonna put some wheels and tires on that. And I thought about what Dad said. So I just went and bought some Walmart tires and put it on. I'm content. That thing drives just as smooth. And I can't see the tires. Sometimes, are we doing things to please others? Or is it really about us? Let's be content. Let's be content. So how do we do that? Luke 15, like a prodigal son, talk to yourself. Tell yourself the right things. Here, the prodigal son was in the quagmire of sin, pig pen, in a situation where he wasn't used to. He talked himself out of that pig pen, talked himself back to his father. His father opened his arms for him, ran, hugged his neck, put him back in the status in which he was before he left. God is good to us. We need an attitude of gratitude. Ephesians 5, verse 20. Set our affections on things that are above. Colossians 3, verse number 1. But I leave you with this. Luke 2, and verse number 15. Luke 12, verse 15, I'm sorry. Luke 12, verse number 15. Notice, you go back and you read this and always chuckle at this that Jesus says. Notice what he says in Luke 12, verse 15. And he said unto them, "Take heed, beware of covetousness. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of the junk which he possess." That's my version right there. Friends, you want to be wealthy and rich? Be content. Be content where you are. Allow God to take you the rest of the way. You can have all of the stuff down here, but if you miss heaven, you miss it all. I believe some are going to miss heaven because they're trying to embrace this place. It's not about that. It's about going home, being with God. Let's have a word of prayer and I'll let you go. Great God and Father, you're good to us. We're thankful for you and to you and for your son, Jesus. And we're content with him. He's enough. We don't need other gods. We don't need other things. We just need him. Help us to be content with him and his words and what he has commanded and showed us by way of example. We ask that you be with us here at the Ninth and Main Church, that we always strive to be a people of contentment, striving to do thy will, having a strong mind, Bless us in that effort, Father. Bless our leaders. Bless us as preachers. Be with every member here and those in whom we come in contact with. In Christ's name, amen.